Hey, how you doing today? This is Wade with Wade for Wireless at wadeforwireless.com. Come and visit my site, wadeforwireless.com, for your wireless answers for wireless deployment, all about what the carriers are doing, tower safety, tower companies, tower crews, what's happening with installation, but I cover deployment end-to-end. If you're wondering what deployment is, just imagine when a carrier says, okay, install these units, eNode Bs, install this system so people can use their cell phones. When you deploy, it's much more than installation. You have RF design, you have installation, you have integration, you have commissioning, you have the site acquisition, you have optimization. So there's a lot to it. Just to make it easy on you, I wrote a book, The Wireless Deployment Handbook, and I geared it towards small cells and CRAN and a little bit of DAS, mini macros, things of that nature. But the point of it is, it explains deployment beginning to end, the way I see it, let me put it that way, because it's based around what the carriers do for wireless deployment. There's all kinds of deployments, but I'm just trying to get you to understand what deployment is, okay? So I did write a book. I'm not finished yet. It's almost done. It's going to be on Amazon, but I wonder, you can get it on Amazon if you want, because everyone has a Kindle, it seems like. But it's also going to be on a PDF format, which I like the best. Then you can print it out. Now, I'll work at getting a print copy of the book if you guys want it. But it's basically going to be about deployment end-to-end. It's on Gumroad.com, and it's on Selfie.com, and I have the links at wadeforwireless.com. Just go there. I'll make sure that I put the links in. The other thing is, I want to thank Hubble Foundation for all they do for everyone out there. I think they do so much to help the fallen climbers and the families. It's hard for them to do this because, you know, you're dealing with a family that's just been through a lot, and they're trying to help the family get through a hard time as well as provide scholarships. HubbleFoundation.org. Wonderful organization. Donate what you can. The other organization out there is the Tower Family Foundation, which was created by Nate. They do everything they can to help the families get through the hard times. Now, the thing about both these organizations, when something happens, they don't judge, they just help. That's OSHA's job, okay? It's up to OSHA, and of course, all the lawyers in the lawsuit, but it's up to OSHA to figure out what happened, who's at fault, and then how to divvy out fines and whatnot, and then the insurance companies, all that. But let's not get into that. So anyways, I'd really like to thank Hubble Foundation, hubblefoundation.org. Let's lighten the mood a little bit. Let's talk about UE Backhaul. Told you about my book. I hope you all like it, because everyone seems to like it so far. I also have a newsletter I put out. If you want to sign up for that, wadeforwireless.com. Go to the end. It's always at the end. But UE Backhaul. What is UE Backhaul? Here's what I'm going to compare it to. Technically, this really isn't it, but this is the easiest thing that everybody understands. Did you ever buy one of those hotspots from the carriers? When I say, like, Verizon has the MiFi, and I think they trademarked the name. That's why I said Verizon. But I think all the carriers have hotspots you can buy. It's very similar to that. You use a carrier's spectrum for backhaul, and the front haul, basically, for you to connect other devices to, is the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi gets you to the internet. All you know is, hey, Wi-Fi connected, boom, internet. Long as a MiFi, or you can use a smartphone as a hotspot. So long as that hotspot has internet connection, whether it's through the carrier or your cable company, all you know is your device works. You can get to the internet. All you know is your Kindle can download all those great books, you know, all that crazy porn that you're reading out there. All right, I'm just kidding. Whatever you read. But my point is, for us to watch YouTube videos, we need a connection to the internet. Am I right? So that's what it is. And the reason I use that as an example is because it shows us how the UE backhaul works. You have Wi-Fi on one end, and you have the carrier spectrum leading us back to a macro site that leads us through the macro into the core and then to the internet. Did you get all that? I know. Doesn't sound easy. Maybe I should put pictures in the blog post. Now, let's take it to the next level. What is a cell extender? Okay, now we're talking carrier stuff, right? So a cell extender, and they sell these all the time, right? They're used more often than you think. That's a practice where many carriers will put something in to improve coverage in a spot. What's that something? On one end, basically you have a device that talks on the carrier's spectrum, you know, like your smartphone. You have something very similar to a smartphone, only it looks like a radio. And you put it up there and you point it to the macro site. You get the best signal you can to the macro. You make sure they're talking. You make sure you have good throughput. Then at the other end, you have basically. It's very similar to a small cell, but it's basically just going to repeat everything that's in there and send it out another carrier. So you have a cell extender. It's basically a repeater. It's set up to repeat the macro signal down, say, an alleyway, in a building, in a dead spot. Let's just say dead spot. So basically, it's going to repeat it in the dead spot. And this isn't something that's new. These cell extenders have been around for, you know, over a decade, decades perhaps. And their whole purpose is just to fill in a dead spot so everyone has coverage. Now, normally, when you put a cell extender in, it's to help a few customers. You don't want to overload the macro. The cell extender can only handle so many customers. And I don't know what the number is. Let's say 5, 10, no more than 15 normally. No more than 10 normally, I'd say. Now, when you think of a cell extender, yeah, this is like the early days of DAS. When DAS first got started, they would basically put a cell extender in. You know, they'd have something outside that would hit the macro. They'd have amplifiers and antennas that would come into the inside, you know, amplify it or else basically put it out another unit. Early days of DAS, bam, DAS system. You got coverage in the building for that 10 or 20 employees you have in the building. That's how they worked. And then they would shoot back to a macro site somewhere. That's how UE backhaul really got started. They didn't call it UE backhaul back then. They called it cell extender. Hey, let's put in a cell extender. Why am I calling it UE backhaul? Hey, I'm going to tell you why. Because a carrier was interested in using UE backhaul for their small cells and their macro deployments. The UE backhaul, they would literally have the backhaul going to a macro site through the carrier spectrum. Hence, UE user equipment backhaul. It would go through the carrier spectrum. Now, talking about putting in a small cell where there's a loading issue, small cells are a little more powerful than cell extenders. No disrespect to cell extenders, but the whole idea of a small cell is to be able to handle a lot of data. They're built to be set up like a small E node B, which is what they are, right? They're supposed to handle so much loading, so many subscribers, and so on. Now, if you're talking about a very small area for UE backhaul, it's probably going to work and not overload the macro. It's not a simple cell extender to use these for many macros where you're going to cover, say, 100 customers or more. In my opinion, not a good idea. So let's talk about why. It's not a simple cell extender. It's a larger system to cover more people, and you're using the carrier spectrum as backhaul. Now, normally you'd think, oh, could I just point it to the sector and use it as normal backhaul? In the old days, that would have worked. But today, it's not a good solution. I get it. You think it's cheap. You think you can just pop it in there and put sites up everywhere, and life's good. We're just using the backhaul. But let me tell you, loading is different nowadays. You have all these smartphones out there that have to get that cat video that they have to watch. And then they tell the person next to them that they have to watch it on their phone. And then pretty soon you got 20 people in an office on their smartphones watching cat videos, sucking down all that spectrum because the cats look cute, right? I know not to everybody, but just bear with me. I'm going somewhere with this. It's a lot different than it used to be. So now all of a sudden this macro site that sees this backhaul sees tons of bandwidth used through, say, a small cell in an office, and it's going to suck down a lot of the spectrum for the backhaul. It sucks down spectrum, it sucks down bandwidth to this macro site. Now, suddenly you have a macro sector that's going to bump regular customers off that would go right to the sector because this one guy's using it all, and he's allowed to use it all because it's backhaul. So now, because it's not dedicated spectrum, that small cell is going to suck up everything it can. And all the other users on that macro site are going to be like, you know, what's up? I can't see the cat video. Why can't I see the cat video? All these people in the small cell got priority. Not saying it's fair. I'm just saying that's the way it is. Do you get the idea? For the backhaul and the small cell, it's going to suck up more spectrum and data. We're data-centric users now. We're very heavy data users. What can be done to avoid this? Well, here's what you can do. You can allocate some of that spectrum at the macro site and dedicate it to that small cell for backhaul. You dedicate it. Picture this. Let's say you had, Let's say you had 10 megahertz of bandwidth at the macro site, hypothetically. Well, now you have 5 megahertz dedicated for backhaul, let's say for these small cells, and you have the other 5 megahertz dedicated for the users on the macro cell that go direct to the macro site. Maybe that'll work, maybe that won't, I don't know. But now the small cell knows it only has 5 megahertz of backhaul. So it's going to suck up 5 megahertz, but no more. Therefore, the users on the macros still have access to the macro site. They don't get bumped. They don't get choked. They don't get knocked off. Life's good, right? Well, it's a lot of work to do that. You don't just do that. You don't just dedicate to backhaul for that, because you have to worry about your neighbor sites. You got to worry about it sucks up spectrum that you have to dedicate for that purpose. The other sectors probably will need to dedicate that spectrum for that purpose or another purpose, because you don't want to have self-interference. It's going to cause a few problems. You're not going to hand off properly. If that macro site goes down, it could be an issue with the small cell. Would the small cell go down? Would it drift to another site? What would it do? I don't know. But it's not an easy fix. It sounds easy up front, because you're basically taking this backhaul and you're using something that you already have. But I got to tell you, all that can be figured out. Let's say you come up with a way to do it. The engineers are smart and they figure it all out. So now suddenly all your technical issues are resolved. And I know, I don't think it's a good idea for all those reasons I say. It's not easy. You got to make changes in eNode B. You got to make changes in the core. You got to make changes in the neighboring sites. It's not like you just change one site, bam, you're done. It takes a little more thought than that. It takes a little more engineering and design than that, okay? So what do? Now you can do all that, and all that can be figured out. We have smart engineers out there. We have brilliant people doing these systems. I know you got your idiots. You guys are probably thinking of five idiots right now. But think of that one brilliant guy that can figure it out. He's there. He or she, they are out there. So you got this brilliant person that can figure it out. I have to look at the bigger picture. Let's step back a little bit farther, because right now we're down in the weeds. We're going to get up in the trees and then eventually in the clouds. And what I mean by that, I'm looking at the big picture. The big picture is, what's the real issue? Is it the fact you just spent all this money and engineering to resolve this issue so you could just plop sites in everywhere? It's a great idea. It's a great concept. Just plop them in, put something up, point back to the macro site, and then just repeat your signal in theory. But what do the carriers pay for this spectrum? I mean, it's not free. you could use the ISM band. When I say ISM band, that's a band that Wi-Fi is in, 2.4 gig, 5.8 gig. It's free. I'm not saying the equipment's free. You got to pay for the equipment. You got to pay for the install. You got to pay for the alignment. But you have to pay for that anyway, because you're going to put the equipment in anyway. You're going to install the equipment anyway. You're going to buy equipment anyway. It may be cheaper, but you're still going to pay. What's the big picture? Let's go back farther. Let's look at the auction where billions with a B were spent on spectrum. So let's say, hypothetically, you spent $1 billion on this spectrum. Just throw it out there. It's an easy number to work with. Now, suddenly, you got this much spectrum. You spent $1 billion for this area. Let's break it down to a region, and let's say, I'm going to make it real easy, $10 million. Let's say you spent $10 million for this market. What's the best investment? Let's say half of that is $5 million. Half of 10 is 5, right? So $5 million is going to be used for backhaul. Is that really the smart thing to do, to take that $5 million asset you have just to save on some OpEx, because you don't want to either pay for a normal license? When I say normal, I mean you have 6 gig, 11 gig, 15 gig, but let's say something really cheap, like the E-band, I think, isn't that light licensed, or 3.5 gig, something that's light licensed. It's like $100 a license, $100. You know, you can probably get a region for a little more than that. And or even let's say you go with 5.8, you go with a 5.8 gigahertz backhaul. That's you know, the spectrum's free. Now you deal with interference, you deal with getting choked, you deal with all the Wi-Fi around. So I would go with 3.5 gig if you had a bandwidth. That's why people don't go with it. You know, you're choked. The FCC is supposed to free up a lot more. They didn't do it yet, but I digress. So your wireless backhaul, if you're going to use it, or you could put fiber in. Fiber's a lot more OpEx a month. I don't deny that, okay? But there are alternatives. And I just want to look at the budgets. I want to look at what the investors would say. Would the investors say, wow, I'm so glad you spent that $1 billion just so you can backhaul in, and now the customers are getting choked at some point? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. So just because it looks cheap and it looks easy doesn't mean it's a good move strategically. Don't get me wrong. The UE relays, the repeaters, serve an important purpose for coverage and filling holes. I'm fans of them. It's like DAS. I mean, there were small cells in DAS. Everyone thought it would be a battle, but they live in harmony. They work together. You use them together as one. It's one het net system, right? But I just think you have to think through the strategy. All right. I got links in there if you want to learn more about UE Relay. This is it's a little longer than I thought, but just wanted to do a short podcast, give you guys something to think about. If you can, like this episode, sign up for my newsletter list, and tell me what you guys want from a newsletter. I think maybe I'll just stop putting as much news in and put more of my views in, and maybe give you some more learning stuff in some of my blogs. And there's a couple things coming up. I am, like I said, I'm almost done with my book, The Wireless Deployment Handbook. And again, deployment, beginning to end, it goes through a lot more than just installation. And that's what you guys are thinking. I wanted to cover everything end to end. I just wanted to. It's about 120, 125 pages, well over 100 pages if you get the PDF. If you get the Kindle book, who knows, 10,000 pages on the Kindle. Depends what size Kindle you have. It's available. Links are on wadeforwireless.com. Look at my notes. I have the links in there. Think about it. Think about deployment end-to-end. Design, installation, optimization, integration, commissioning, site acquisition, all that. I just put some notes in there about all that. Tried to cover it all for you. I tried to help you with planning and preparation. All right, done harping on that. All I ask, other than everything else I asked, to see my sponsors, to like this, and to buy my book, all I ask now is be smart, be safe, and pay attention to safety. Pay attention to what you're doing. It really matters, because that's how you come home at night. All right? See ya.